come on and let it ride. Oh, oh yeah. Oh, oh, come on and let it ride. Let the Spirit, let it ride, rise. Come on. Let the Spirit, let it ride, rise. Come on, let the freedom up, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, come on and let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the Spirit, let it rise. Let the Spirit up, let it rise. Let the freedom up, let it rise. Let it rise. Oh, let. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on and let it rise. Oh, let it. Oh, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Come on and let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the songs up, let it rise. Let the songs of the let it rise. Let the joy of let it rise. Oh, let it. Oh, let. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, come on and let it rise. Oh, let it. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, come on and let it rise. Oh, let it. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, come on and let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, come on and let it rise. The inspired writer said, now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. God is love. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then the Son said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. It's something about love, isn't it? Someone said, justice is nothing but love holding the balance. Mercy is nothing but love being gracious. Prophecy is nothing but love foretelling. Faith is nothing but love believing. Evangelism is nothing but love rescuing. Patience is nothing but love waiting. It's something about the power of love. Amen. This morning, brothers and sisters, I want to introduce a series of sermons entitled The Great Rooms of Life. The seven great rooms of life. Now, seven is a number in Scripture that denotes perfection or completeness. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to be satisfied, not lacking or needing anything. Seven is a significant number in Scripture. The great God of heaven created the world in 6 days, but on the seventh day, he rested. Amen. It is said that there are seven parables told by the Lord Jesus in the gospel according to Matthew. There were seven sayings of Jesus as he hung on the cross. Some scholars tell us there are seven colors in the spectrum of the rainbow. When I move to the book of Revelation, there are seven seals, seven trumpets, seven spirits of God, and the seven churches of Asia Minor. Something about that number seven. There are seven numbers in a local telephone number. You can't dial six, you gotta dial seven. Is that right? 7 days in a week. So we're gonna talk about the seven great rooms of life. Amen. Now we're using room as I define room. A room is a space where we can place something. Amen. Or where something can happen. A room is an area in a building where there is a ceiling, there are walls, and there's a floor. And a room can also be the scope or the possibilities or the opportunities for something to happen. For example, one might say there is room for improvement. Amen. So we're talking about the seven great rooms of life. And we're using room as a situation, a circumstance you may find yourself in and you got to deal with. Now, the first room I want to talk about this morning is the emergency room. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Y'all know anything about the emergency room? Somebody said too much. An emergency is when something happens unexpectedly that you have to urgently deal with. Now, when you got an emergency, you've got to take some serious action. Yeah. Amen. An emergency demands urgency. Yeah. And I'm suggesting today that in some people's lives, they have some emergencies going on and don't realize you got an emergency on your hand. Right. When we think about emergency there, even in a car, they got emergency brakes. Yeah. Did you know that? Do you know what those brakes are for? An emergency. Is that right? When the other brakes don't work, you got to hit the, come on, you got to hit the emergency brakes. Is that right? On train, Brother Harris could tell you, they got an emergency cord where they can stop the train. Sometime you go to a restaurant, they have an emergency exit. You ever seen that door? Amen. It's an emergency. You don't just go through that door under normal circumstances. But if that is an emergency, what do? Even on airplanes, when you fly, they tell you. Now, of course, if you tell you don't sit by the emergency door if you ain't strong. Hello? If the airplane gets in trouble, I don't need you scuffling and struggling. I can't get it open. You need somebody who can open that emergency door. Sometimes you have emergency medicine. Someone has to get involved in a technique or administer medicine in an urgent fashion. And then, of course, in the hospital, there are emergency rooms. It is a place where people go when they have medical emergencies. I remember one time I went to the emergency room. I had an emergency, I thought, and I stayed in there for 7 hours. That didn't seem like no emergency room to me. That sounded like a waiting room. Is that all right? Amen. But a man that is going to the emergency room is different from a man that makes an appointment to see the doctor in 2 weeks. See, when a man, if a man is bleeding to death, you don't say, well, come back in 2 weeks and we'll operate. If a man is bleeding, then emergency measures and actions must be taken immediately. And so I'm talking about, when I talk about the emergency room, I'm talking about a place in your life you'd rather not be, but life has forced you into a situation, into a circumstance that you rather not be. I want to know this morning, is anybody in this audience in the emergency room? Sometimes you can be in the emergency room and don't even realize that you're in there or need to go to the emergency room. Is that all right? Because you have an emergency on your hand. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about two things with you. Number one is the throne of grace is God's appointed place for emergencies. So I want to call your attention. If you got your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. This is going to be our jumping off point. And I'm going to read and hear it, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. You have that? Say amen. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And verse 16 reads, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. That time of need is an emergency. Now let me tell you a little bit about the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written for Christians who were having an emergency. They were on the verge, they were under so much pressure. Sometimes you can be under so much pressure in life, you just don't know what to do. You may do something desperate. They were under so much pressure that they were on the verge of giving up Christ and the gospel. And this book was written to help them to deal with their emergency. Whatever you do, don't give up Christ. Whatever you do, don't give up the gospel. Amen. Because you may be going through it. You may be facing a situation and you don't see how you're going to get at it. Amen. But don't give up Christ. Because the works of Christ are amazing. The works of Christ are awesome. The works of Christ are astounding. The works of Christ are amazing. The works of Christ are breathtaking. The works of Christ are magnificent. The works of Christ are stupendous. The works of Christ are glorious. The works of Christ are victorious. If anybody can tell me what to do in the midst of an emergency, I tell you, it's Christ. Amen. And Christ says, what do you need to do? Well, the first thing we need to do is open our eyes and see. That's the first thing we need to do. Verse 14 says, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. We need to open our eyes and see Jesus going up into the heavens. Because there are so many things the devil doesn't want us to see. He blinds men's hearts. He takes away the gospel out of their hearts lest they should believe and be saved. But there are so many things that the devil doesn't want us to see, but we need to see Jesus stepping on a cloud, rising up from the earth, going through the stratosphere, and arriving at heaven. The writer said in the New Testament, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. And he was received up into glory. We need to open our eyes and see Jesus has gone into the heavens. And he went there for us. Perhaps Jack, as he arrived at the gate, or was approaching the gate on that cloud, a voice cried out, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And somebody asked, who is this King of glory? And they said, the Lord strong and mighty. All right, now. The Lord mighty in battle. Then somebody said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord is the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. So you need to take your eyes off the earth and look up and see Jesus ascending into heaven. And since you see him ascending into heaven for you, he says, let us hold fast our profession. That is, don't give up your commitment to Christ. You're going through something, but don't let that cause you to give up your commitment to Christ. Cling tenaciously to Christ. Is that right? Be steadfast. Don't be double-minded. Don't serve God on impulse. You know what I mean by impulse? You don't go to work on impulse, do you? Well, child, I ain't feel like going today. You ain't going to work? No, I ain't going. But ain't you scared? No, I mean, they know I sometimes I don't feel like it. Now, you know that doesn't work, does it? You go when you feel like it. And when you preach when you feel like it. And when you don't feel like it. Is that right? Yeah. I told one guy, man, I said, man, I'm so tired. I am fried and tired. Now, that's tired, ain't it? Yeah. So Jesus has passed into the heavens. So don't be double-minded. Don't be trying to serve two masters, because your master has ascended up into the heavens. So you, what do? You be steadfast. You be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, because something you know, that what you're doing is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus has ascended up, and he's in heaven this morning right now for you. Did you know that? Now, just because he has ascended up into heaven don't mean he can't relate to what you're dealing with right now. Verse 15 says, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That Jesus can, and it literally means we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with us. Anybody need any sympathy this morning? Don't you want somebody that can sympathize with you? Is that right? We have not an high priest. Even though he's way up in heaven, he still can sympathize with what we're going through, what you're going through. Even though he was tempted in all points. Were you tempted this week? Probably was. Is that right? The devil tempted Jesus with his greatest weapons repeatedly. And yet he never sinned. Is that right? We have not an high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows about your weaknesses and your struggles and your problem and your issues. He's up in heaven, so you need to open up your eyes and see him up in heaven. But even though he's way up in heaven, don't think he can't relate to you. You're not going through your life alone. Jesus is with you. Does that make sense? Does that help you? And then verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Now watch this. Verse 14 tells us where Jesus is. Verse 15 tells us how Jesus feels. Did you get that? Verse 14 says, seeing we have a what? Great high priest that has ascended or passed into the heavens. That's where he is. Verse 15 saying that we have not a high priest that can't be touched. That tells me how he feels. Now, verse 16 tells me what I need to do since I know where he is and since I know how he feels. Did y'all get that? I think I said something right there. I think I need to say it again. Verse 14 tells me where he is. He's in the heaven. Where is Jesus now? In heaven, right? Verse 15 tells me that I have not a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of he sympathizes with my struggles. He knows I don't always feel like a winner. Yeah, sometimes life beats me up. Amen. I said it beat me up. I ain't beat down, I'm just beat up. You ever felt like that? You ain't beat down, because if you beat down, you give up. I'm just beat up. I told Brother Y this morning, he said, how you doing? I said, well, I'm okay with the cat done left of me. And Brother Y said, just drag the rest home to church. And sometimes when life beats you up, you got to just drag what's left of you and let God put his healing sash. So what do? Let us therefore, watch this, come boldly, that is with confidence, to the throne. Throne means the seat of a king. Kings and potentates sit on thrones. Let us come how to the, you know, if you were going in to see a king, you would be sort of intimidated. But since you have a great high priest that's passed through the heavens, right there in heaven, making intercession for you, care about you, was with you all last week, When folk was talking about you behind your back, he was there, got your back. Y'all better come on here. Is that all right? Folk lying on you, misrepresenting you, he still got your back. Is that right? Because he got you covered. That boy said on that show, I got you. Christ said, I got you. He's in heaven. He's in heaven, but don't think he's so far away. He can't relate to where you are. He knows you got to go to church tomorrow. He knows if you're having some issues at the house. He knows the folks trying to fire you. He knows what the doctor going to tell you before the doctor tell you. He knows if the girl just playing you for your money. Preach, Moss. He knows he got you. So he says, come on now, boldly to the throne is a seat of a king. But Brother Sperling, it is not merely the seat of a king. It is the seat where the king sits, and it is a throne of grace or favor. Come boldly, come with confidence. What you're dealing with? Are you in the emergency room? Come on. Come where? To the throne, the seat of grace, that you may find grace and mercy to help. Watch this. In your emergencies, time of need means this: suitable time. It means in the nick of time. Did you get that? Suitable time. It means the help we need. Emergency room. Life falling apart. What you gonna do? Help health issues. What you gonna do? Emergency room. Here's the final point. We hear sirens in our streets. We hear alarms going off. We see the mobilization of emergency personnel, because emergencies are taking place every day in our world. And we don't minimize, we don't diminish that physical emergencies are important. That's why if I see an emergency vehicle coming, I get out of the way. If I see an ambulance or the fire department responding to an emergency, I don't block the way. I get out of the way. Why? Because if you went to your house and the alarm was going off, you would know you have an emergency, provided it's not a false alarm. If the alarm went off on your car right now, you get up and go out there and see what's happening. You wouldn't just sit here, well, that's just an alarm. You'd get up. You might get a call. They said, for normal delivery, press 1. For urgent delivery, press 3. The one thing I try to do is try to be courteous to people when I call for. I don't want to be putting emergency calls on folks' phone if it's not an emergency. Be courteous. Man, you got an emergency call. Huh? What is it? I just want to holler at you. Something wrong with that, isn't it? I'm telling you that alarms are going off in the physical world. Alarms are going off. Sirens are going off. But also, I want to tell you that there are deeper emergencies. There are some emergency going off in the spiritual world you can't hear. You know, one of the most amazing things, Brother Wyatt, was that dog whistle. It is pitched at such a high frequency, you can't hear it. But you blow it, every dog in town get to barking or hollering. You know why? Because they are attuned, their hearing faculties and facilities are attuned to hear on a higher frequency. And I'm telling you that there are some spiritual emergencies. Some people this morning perhaps are in the emergency room. Well, something needs to be done quickly. Amen. Is that all right? Because if you have an emergency, you can't take normal action. I think in the hospital, if I'm correct, there's a thing called code blue. Is that right, Manya? And code blue means there's an emergency, right? Somebody's in trouble. Is that right? If you hear code blue, then somebody is in trouble. Let me give you a few emergency situations and we're going to conclude. Number one, if you are in a lot of pain emotionally and psychologically, you have an emergency. The normal state of your life should not be anxiety, fear, and worry. Now, I know people say, we say in this medicated society that I ain't got time for the pain. And I must admit, I'm glad they got some pain relievers at them stores. Did you hear what I said? Thank God for Advil and Tylenol. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Some of the young folks say, well, I don't need no Advil. Just live on. I don't need no Advil. Just keep living. Yes, sir. And you'll need some Bengay too. Hello? You know, this morning, Brother Harris and Brother Rudd and Brother Wyatt sitting there talking about their knees. I said, well, let me knock on wood. My knee ain't hurting yet. But I got some other stuff hurting though. Is that all right? And they said, I don't have time for the pain. But if your state is, if there's a lot of fear in your life, a lot of anxiety and worry in your life, you have an emergency. If you can't sleep at night, you don't have any peace of mind and peace of soul, you have an emergency. You are in the emergency room and you need to do something. That cannot remain your permanent state. You must do something about that situation. You are in the emergency room. And you need to get some help. You wake up fearful. You go to sleep worried. At least you have fitful sleep. You don't really rest well. Is that all right? If there's a lot of psychological and emotional pain in your life, because your normal state should be peace, joy, and happiness. Is that all right? And if your continual state is fear and anxiety and worry, you have an emergency and you are in the emergency room and you need to do something about it, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ knows what you're going through. And even though he's in heaven, he's not so far away. He can't help you. Here's a second emergency. And this really is a big one. If you are on the verge, or under the threat of having your heart hardened, you have an emergency. Because a hardened heart is a heart that is, you've got to the point in your life, and there are some people who've got to the point in their lives, they will not listen to what God says, nor will they obey him. And if you've gotten to that point, if you're at a point your heart is about to get hard, get from 1 Timothy, Hebrews 3:15, Brother White. We'll go to King James on that one. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You got to keep your heart right, because that's where the critical decision making of your life takes place. And if you become so stubborn and so unwilling to hear God, there are some people who should be in church right here, ain't got no good reason why they're not here. All right, preacher. Just unwilling to be here. That's the only reason. Amen. Now, some people may be physically unable to come. But there are some people who could be here and not here because they're simply unwilling. And here's the thing about sin. You see, sin is rattlesnake venom dressed up like honey. Sin is a buzzard dressed up in peacock feathers. Did you hear what I said?
Mix it up, preacher.
See, sin is like cancer. And the more you don't deal with it, the worse your condition becomes. Some people say they can go out there and sin for 15 years and everything's cool. Everything's copathetic. And that's not true. Hebrews 3:15 says what, Brother Wyatt?
While it is said, today if you hear
his voice,
harden not your heart,
as in the day of provocation. If you hear God's voice, if you hear the voice of God, sometimes the voice of God speaks to your conscience, and you hear that voice, and you are unwilling and stubborn to obey it, you are in the emergency room. Is that all right? Let me show you a man that was in trouble. Psalm 73 now, Brother Wyatt. We're going to read from the New Living Bible. How many on the verge of having your heart hardened? How many this morning sitting here got a hardened heart? Things you ought to do, you just won't do. You ought to make a confession this morning. You ought to confess your sin, but you just won't do it. You ought to ask for prayer, but you just won't do it. Hello? Jesus, is quiet in here. Is this a deep freezer?
Well, talk to us, preacher.
Psalm 73, listen what it says.
Truly.
Truly.
God is good to Israel. To those whose heart is pure.
Whose hearts are pure.
But as for me.
As for me. Watch this. As for me.
Come on. I came so close.
I came so close.
To the edge of the cliff.
To the edge of the cliff.
My feet were slipping.
My feet. How many feel that way? Man, I'm barely holding on. I'm trying to hold on to my faith, but I'm barely holding on. You're in the emergency room. You got an emergency on your hand. You just don't realize it. Read, Brother Wyatt.
And was almost gone.
They were almost gone. His heart is about to get hardened. And you can reach the point in your life that you're still living physically, but you're dead spiritually.
Have mercy.
Read.
For I envied the proud. When I saw them prosper. Despite their wickedness.
In other words, I go to church every Sunday and I can't hardly make ends meet.
Well.
I'm like Marvin Gaye, make me want to holler. Throw up both my hands.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Money. We make it. Before we see it,
Jesus,
you take it.
Hmm.
Ah! Well, make me want to holler.
Yes, sir. Throw them up.
Throw up both my hands. Is that all right?
That's all right.
Drop down now to verse 13. Listen.
If I had really spoken this way.
If I had really spoken this way.
Wait, but I'm sorry about that, preacher. 15. Verse 13.
13.
Was it for nothing?
He said, how many feel like sometime I'm just going to church for nothing? Now that gets deep, don't it? Let me tell you something. If you ever get to the point in your thinking and your mindset and you feel like you're going to church is a waste of time, you're in the emergency room. Come on, Brother Wyatt.
Was it for nothing that I kept my heart pure?
Was it? I mean, I'm trying to live right. Is that for nothing? That I kept my life pure? Come on.
And kept myself from doing wrong?
Kept myself from doing wrong? And everybody else doing what they want to do, and look like they're doing better than me.
Yes, sir.
I need some victories.
Talk, preacher.
Oh! You in the emergency room.
Yes, sir.
The devil got you in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Come on, preacher.
All I get is trouble.
All I get is trouble.
All day long.
All day long.
Every morning.
Don't that sound like the emergency room to you?
Yes, sir.
All I get is trouble. Child, I've been looking for a job for 2 years. I ain't found there yet.
Make it plain.
But one thing about it, you had a place to stay. You ate. I mean, ate.
Yeah.
Thank you. And God still taking care of you.
Still.
Huh?
God is good.
See, God doesn't need a job to take care of you.
Amen.
He can take care of you any number of ways. Nice to have a job. You understand what I'm saying? God can make something out of nothing.
Yes, sir.
A little in his hand becomes a lot.
Yes, sir.
He took 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and opened up a Captain D's on a grassy hillside.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Praise the Lord.
5 sardine crackers, Brother Wyatt.
Yeah.
Saltine crackers. And 2 sardines. He didn't have 2 whales and 15 truckloads of bread.
No, sir.
And he fed a multitude. Read, where were you?
Verse 14.
Verse 14.
Every morning brings me pain.
Every morning brings me pain. Come on.
If I had really spoken this way.
If I really had spoken the way I wanted to speak.
I would have been a traitor to your people.
You see. I really don't say how I feel around the children because I don't want to mess them up. You know, we went over to Vestavia, and I'm so proud of this church. We had a good group over there. Then we Ron, my man. Yes, sir. And me and Ron was riding and talking. And, you know, one thing that preacher said, you know, he put that screen up, and this young man, handsome young man, he said, Brother Spelling, he said, he doesn't look like a killer. Preacher son. That boy was in the emergency room and didn't know it.
Amen.
You hanging with your homeboy. And then he said, friends can be dangerous. Some of the dudes you may be hanging with are dangerous to your future.
Talk, preacher.
Dangerous to your people, but you just want to hang with them. And they don't mean you no good. You're in the emergency room. And then he said, friends are dangerous. Friends are dangerous. You gotta be careful who you're going to run with.
Amen.
Who's going to be your road dog?
Amen.
Huh? Amen?
Amen?
Because you'll mess around here. And that boy wanted some money, killed a man, and the state of Texas killed him.
Amen.
They executed him. And let me say to all of our beautiful mothers, the state of Alabama will execute your sons and daughters.
Yes, sir.
You better hear that. That child needs to be in Sunday school where he can learn about Jesus.
Talk, preacher.
But you know, I was tough. Wasn't much I wouldn't try. But thank God I knew Jesus.
Amen.
Mama had put the fear of hell in my heart. I didn't want to go to hell.
That's all right.
You know, I said, wait a minute, boy. You don't want to go to hell, boy. That helped me. And I still don't want to go.
Amen.
still trying to make it my business. Now stay out of there.
Tell the truth, sir.
Preach, bro. I mean, read, right?
So I tried to understand.
Why the wicked prosper.
But what a difficult task it is.
But what I try to figure out, Jay-Z, empires of the mind.
Yes, sir.
Steve Harvey done blowed up.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I try to figure out why they make so much money, and I'm scuffling around here. You find yourself in the emergency room. Read, Brother Wyatt.
Then one day. I went into your sanctuary.
I went to the church house.
Oh, God.
And I heard the word of God. And that blessed me.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wyatt. And then here's another area. It's when people don't love people like they should. Let me tell you something. If we don't love people like we should, we're in the emergency room.
Amen.
Because when people don't love, they unleash hurt and pain in this world. And we ain't got enough love in the church. Did you hear what I said? We need more love in the church. Because if you are hating somebody and you don't love people, then you're in the emergency room. I want to tell you this morning, if love is blind, hate can't see no better. If love is weak, hate is no stronger. If love is foolish, hate is no wiser. You are in the emergency room if you're hating on somebody. Amen. Paul said, I got to show you a more excellent way. Then that great apostle began to wax eloquent. He said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, though I understand prophecies and all mysteries, and though I have all faith so as I could move mountain, and if I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And though I give my body, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but if I have not love, I'm nothing. And I'm telling you, if you don't love your brother and your sister, you're in the emergency room. And only Jesus can help me with love. Is that right? Only Jesus can help me to love like I ought to. And then if you are rejecting and neglecting salvation, some of you need to be saved today. You've just been putting it off. You're just one heartbeat away from hell. You see, preachers ain't preaching that way no more. But you got to preach. If you're preaching the gospel, you got to preach about here. Look, it's Christ or condemnation. Is Christ, is heaven or hell? Ain't no intermediate state. And some are neglecting this great salvation. You come to church when you get ready. You give when you get ready. And I'm telling you, if that's the state of your spiritual life, you're in the emergency room. Amen. And let me say this. I want to come back to that, but I want to say this. If you're not receiving the encouragement you need every day, how many in here every day get some spiritual encouragement? I mean every day. Every day. Because there's so much discouragement in this world. But the Bible says, exhort one another daily. People need spiritual encouragement every day. And when we come to the house of God, we ought to get some encouragement. And if we're not getting it, then the whole church can be in the emergency room. I pray to God that we come here and don't feel worse when we leave than when we got here. Somebody ought to get some encouragement. Exhort one another. A brother, a sister may come in here down, maybe just had a hard week. We don't need to add to that burden. We need to lift that burden. And then let me get back to this and I'll conclude. We need to not neglect this great salvation. Whatever you do, don't give up Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Huh? Cling tenaciously to Christ. Amen. And let me say to you who perhaps know you need to be saved and you haven't, consider this thought. Have you ever thought and wondered what life is all about? From whence you came and where you're going when your lease on time is out? Perhaps you've been too busy trying hard to reach your goal. How about the great tomorrow? Have you thought about your soul? You may reach the highest portal. Your dreams may all come true. Success and fortune will be your fortune, and success may smile on you. All your friends may sing your praises. Not a care on you to roll. May I kindly ask you a question? Have you thought about your soul? If you haven't thought about it, then think of it today. There's nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole. In the name of Christ your Savior, stop and think about your soul. Amen. Remember, your days are numbered. Though you may be riding high, then all your fame and fortune and glory won't be worth the bell they toll. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Have you thought about your soul? Because you are in the emergency room. Are you listening? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Do you know for sure you'd go? Because if you don't know, you're in the emergency room. Next Sunday, if the Lord bless me to live, to see it, because ain't nothing promised. Hello? Amen. I'm going to talk about the waiting room. Huh? Some of us in the waiting room. We'd rather not be, but sometimes you can't hurry love. You just got to wait. Is that all right? And that's just the way it is. Amen. But I'm glad this morning as I close that there's a God, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, Brother Lance. He fainteth not, neither is weary. And there is no emergency he can't handle. There is no emergency so complex God can't deal with. Is that all right? You may be in over your head, but God can handle it. That's why he said, if you got a burden, come on to me. If you got a situation, I want you to come on to me. Can't you hear him saying that? Is that all right? I'm glad this morning, Sister Smith, I have a high priest that has passed into the heavens. Is that all right? I'm glad this morning that he's not so far removed. He knows all my struggles. Yes, he knows when I stay up late at night and I can't sleep. Is that all right? He knows what I got in my bank account wide. And he knows my future before it even comes to pass. Is that all right? But I'm glad he can say that, come onto the throne of grace, because I can say, your grace and your mercy, it brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and praise you too, because your grace and your mercy, yeah, it brought me through. Is that all right? So whatever the question is, Jesus is the answer. Whatever the problem is, Jesus is the solution. Whatever the hurt is, Jesus is the healer. Whatever the bondage is, Jesus is the deliverer. Whatever the sin is, Jesus is the forgiver. Is that all right? Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? So I can say, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Oh, crown him Lord of all. Lord, I'm glad that you ain't so far away, that you know that I'm at 1400 4th Avenue West. And Lord, you know where I live. You know where I'm going. Is that all right? And even though you may be in the emergency room, he can get you out. Oh, wouldn't it be great if you in the emergency and then he come in and say, oh, my name is Jesus, and I'll be your doctor today. Wouldn't that be awesome? You come in and Jesus said, I'm your doctor. I'll be your water when you're thirsty. I'll be your bread when you're hungry. I'll be your light when you in darkness. I'll be your life when you're dying. I'll be your hope when you're despairing. I'll be grace when you're guilty. I'll be strength when you're weak. I'll be a burden bearer. God knows I'm a heavy load sharer. I'm a mind regulator and a heart fixer. My name is Jesus. Is there anyone, stand on your feet, please? Is there anyone here this morning that's in the emergency room? And maybe this morning you're in a lot of pain. I don't know. Maybe you're in a lot of pain this morning. And there's some pain you're taking Advil, can't help. There's some pain you're going through, Tylenol, can't help. Only that medicine from heaven can help. Is that all right? Perhaps this morning you're on the verge of your heart being hardened. You're in the emergency room. Perhaps this morning you're not getting the encouragement you need. You know you need more encouragement because you ain't attending church like you used to. Preach, Moss. Is that right? You're not as excited as you used to be. Huh? Is that right? You in the emergency room. You're not getting the encouragement you need. You don't have the love in your heart. You got a lot of anger and bitterness that you're living with. People have disappointed you, so you're just mad at everybody. Emergency room. You got an emergency. What you gonna do about it? Amen. And God knows if you ain't saved this morning, but you've been neglecting God and living in sin, you got an emergency. You got an emergency. You can't, man got shot, got a gunshot wound. Well, bring him back next week. He won't need the doctor. He'll need the undertaker if you don't get him some help. So thank you for being here this morning. I hope this lesson has blessed you. Perhaps you, one of these rooms, we're going to talk about the operating room, the classroom, the board room. And you had to wait to see about the rest of them. I'm just giving you a preview of coming attractions. Amen. So we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. If you're here today and you know you are in the emergency room and you need to do something today, amen. Amen. Sometimes you got to get up and go and go see about yourself. And sometimes you got to get up and see about yourself spiritually. Don't just sit there and die. Amen. Amen. Well, how do you become a Christian? You come by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized. That make you a child of God. Amen. If you're a Christian and you've been neglecting your salvation, three things you do: repent, you confess, and you pray, and you're out of the emergency room, and you're now in God's operating room. Amen. Amen. Without you, Lord, oh, without you, Lord, I can't, Lord, I just can't make it. Oh, without you, oh, without you, yeah. Oh, without you, I know, I can't. Lord, I just can't make it. Oh, without you, oh, there was a time, oh, in my, I was living in, yes, I was, without crime. Lord, it made me start to wonder what I did wrong to make my way so hard to run. Oh, without you. You may be seated.